That's good. How many of y'all like that? I tell you, man. Listen, you've been doing it all worship service. You've been doing it all worship service. You have been claiming that God is absolutely good for the promise. I mean, you've been singing that all worship service. Did you hear the songs you sang? Hey, come on, let's be honest. Even at Hillview, sometimes we come in here and mumble through. True? How many of y'all found it's easy to get into a routine of following God and miss following God? Now, here's what I want you to know today more than anything. God is good with the promise. He's good with the promise. You've sung it today. You've sung it today. Our hope is in who? Christ Jesus. You've heard it in the baptistry today. As you heard the water move, I have been buried in who? Christ. I've been risen in who? So watch this. Since that is true, all things are possible in this auditorium. All things are possible because of what Jesus done. Now, I'm going to preach a little bit today, so some of y'all didn't want to hear any preaching. You're going to have to hold on. Because I'm coming after something. I want you to know that God is good for the promise. And nothing else is good for the promise. But we gotta look at some things. Sometimes we step away from the promise. How many of y'all have had that? You know God wants to do a great thing, but you've stepped aside to less than what God would give you. How many of y'all have ever bowed down to less than what God would give you? You bowed down to less. You took a C when you could have had an A. You took an F when you should have passed. You let it go because it was the path of least resistance. Now I'm going to blow y'all away. Y'all are kind of young in here. Okay, the last two services we got a little more. Aging. Seasoning. But I want to give you a heads up. What you cannot see, you will find as you journey in life, will be stronger than what you can see. But see, when you're young, you want to jump on what? I better be careful how I say that. You want to move always in what you immediately can see. Here, I'll give you an example. When I was 16 years old, I went to buy a car. Guess what was the first thing I looked at on that automobile? Come on, y'all take a guess. What do you think? Stereo. Exactly right. You bought one too. First thing I do is I slid in that car. I turn on the radio. This got a good what? Stereo. Because when you're 16 years old, why do you buy a car? Image. It had to have the right look. And in fact, when I got in that car, it was a Camaro. It was a real Camaro. Because I came out of the age when if you were going to drive a car, you had a car. We wouldn't imagine in my era having anything with four cylinders and calling that cool. You know, we did more than stick a motorcycle muffler in the back of a car and consider that a hot rod. We had like real cars. And guess what? I wasn't checking it. I'd never asked this question to a car salesman. How long is the car going to hold up? What do you think about the transmission? What about the engine? You know what I was thinking about? I was thinking about how good Elizabeth was going to look riding in that car with me. That's what I was thinking about. Hey, the car be looking good. It was image. Now, here's what I want you to know. God has a promise. Y'all with me? God has a what? Man has an image. God has a promise. And man has an image. Promises from God will be completed. Images always fade. Images always what? Fade. Well, let me show you the problem. Moses is hanging up with God. He's doing what he's supposed to do. Moses is with who? God. Chapter 32, book of Exodus. Now, remember, God's delivered these people. God's promised these people. And God's provided for these people. God does not want the children of Israel. He does not want the children of Israel to be led astray. So he's given them some commandments to keep them in the promise. I mean, y'all glad to know God did not make us to be slaves. So he's leading them out of slavery. He's showing them new life. 32nd chapter of Exodus. Where have I put my 32nd chapter of Exodus? Moses is with who? God. Let's look. First verse, 32. While the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain. Where was Moses? He was with God at the mountain. And I want to go over some things real quick. What leads you away from God? One of the things that leads you away from God is this. When you move in your time and not God's. Everything has a time. True? I see some of you mothers who are expecting. The doctor gave you a what? Due date. He don't know. He gave you an estimate of the occasion. Guess when it's really going to happen? When it happens. And when it gets ready to happen, who's going to stop it? Nobody. But it's going to happen when it what? What is? He got these mothers going, well, I'm overdue. How you know the doctor could have messed it? Why? Man, at his best, has an image of the situation. God has the exact reality. Now lock it into you. God has the exact what? Reality. Moses is up there talking with God, and the people say, man, Moses has been too long. Now they gathered around Aaron and said, now some of y'all are going to be in leadership and some of you are in leadership. This is something I've learned as a leader for many years. The people will always talk to number two when they can't get to number one. Any of y'all ever been that where you've been in an organization and they'll go, well, now so-and-so, they're pretty good. In Kentucky, anytime you hear pretty good, that means something bad's fixing to happen. When somebody says, well, they're pretty good, but, Sister Coleman, you've probably seen this in your years. People, when Moses is away, they want Aaron to do it their way. Now, Moses is talking to who? Moses is talking to God, and Aaron is listening to the people. I'm going to preach to our pastors for a minute. Pastors, anytime we get away from talking to God, hearing what God wants to do with the people and start listening to what the people want to do, we'll always have a golden calf in motion. You know, it's not about what we want. It should be about where God's taking us. How many of y'all got that group? How many of y'all got that group? God said this. Now, last week, guess what God said? God said, have no other what? What commandment was that? Good, y'all were here last week. Some of you even waked last week. I'm impressed. What was the first commandment? No other gods. Now, watch what the people do. Did I tell you Moses was off talking to who? And Aaron's where? You don't know how many times I hear this at church. Well, Pastor Steve, they said. Now, some of y'all don't come up to me anymore because I always give you a rudder to that. Who? I want their name and their email. Well, it's confidential, which really means I'm full of something else. Yes. I'm giving y'all how to interpret this. It's not what they want. It's what I want. And so I'm using my credibility of they because it's really me. Y'all understand all that? A lot of people are talking. Bring them to me. A lot of people told me to tell you. No, watch this. God deals in direct source. Aaron deals in hearsay. They say, God says. Hemming, that will be the story of the rest of your life. What has God said and what do they say? They say, we don't know where Moses is. He's led us out to the desert. We're not sure about his what? Leadership. Now here's what I know. Anytime you step out of order, you'll get out of order. Now, note, anytime you step out of order, hold on, you'll get out of order. I've watched this happen before. I've watched this happen in a ball game before. How many of y'all have ever seen this happen? Some little old cocky player, high school player out there. The coach gives a play and the player rewrites the play. Calls their own what? Play. And they always feel good about it when they go like, well, I'm going to tell you what. I did that. And the coach is over there furious. Why? Because this is what the player doesn't know. The player doesn't know more than the coach. Or the player would be the coach. What I like is when the players are calling all of the plays when they're four touchdowns behind. And see, what would have happened? They wouldn't be four touchdowns behind if they had executed what? The play they were given. You got it? So Moses has been given a play. Lead the people to the promised land. The people have come to Aaron. Look what they've said. As far as this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him. How many of y'all have ever heard that about leadership? We don't know what's happened to him. We don't know what's happened to him. We don't know what's happened to him. We got several pastors in here. I got tickled. This passage of Scripture reminds me, everybody wants somebody to verify that their wrong is right. Hey, how many of y'all look for people? Doc, you have this in the medical profession. It's called a second what? Opinion. Well, there's this blob on the x-ray, and guess what? The same blob's going to be on another x-ray, and another x-ray, and another x-ray, because guess what the problem is? Whatever they've called that blob, that marking. But we're going to walk there because we want the next doctor to tell us what? It's not as bad. You ought to see people heal you. We get so tickled at some of you. Especially when it comes to, I've heard this at Hillview. That's why I want to address it. God's calling me to get a divorce. Now, let me help some of you, because some of you, listen, you've had a golden calf moo upside your head. God can't contradict His Word. So God can't call you to get a divorce. Now, if you just say it properly, I'm choosing to get a divorce, that would be true. But don't tell people God told you to get a divorce, because God didn't tell you. You made that one up. Now, some of you are going, well, what about if it was the other one that just left? That's the crazy thing about marriage. They can leave and there's nothing you can do to get them back. And sometimes when they leave, you say, thank you, Jesus. All I'm stating is this. God didn't tell you to do that. See what I'm saying? Now watch. Here they'll come in my office. Pastor Steve, is it God's will that I get a divorce? What's my answer going to be? This will save some of y'all a trip. What's my answer going to be? No. Now, absolutely, if you've had to go through that, I believe in grace and reestablishment. But on the front end, what? No. And then they go see Pastor Mark. Pastor Mark, now Pastor Steve, you know, he's a hard-headed, bull-headed guy. You know how he is sometimes. This fellow Moses, he's been up on the mountain too long. Pastor Harris, but you know how he is. He's hard-headed. He's not compassionate like you are. And then guess what Mark says? No. Then they go see Pastor Eric. And they say, Pastor Eric, you're really cool. Can you light some candles and tell me that divorce is all right? Give me a creative worship moment. Eric goes, I'm sorry, man, it's in the book. Then they go see Shane. They say, Shane, you love young people. And you understand craziness because you're a youth pastor. And he'll go, no, it's not the will of God. Which is hilarious. I mean, they'll go to every pastor trying to find one of the pastors and go, it's okay. Watch this. It's not okay. It's not okay to violate what God said. Your life will not go well. What if you had a doctor, a physical medical doctor? What if he came up to you and said, I'll tell you what I think you need to do. I think you need to drink a whole lot of whiskey, smoke a whole lot of cigarettes, and make sure that you eat high caloric foods 7 or 8 times a day. What would you do with that doctor? Now, personally, I'm going, wait a minute. He said some things that make us all feel what? Good. I finally found a doctor that'll let me kill myself. Huh? And it doesn't matter how much you weigh. What if you went to a doctor and said, just get them clogged up as you want to. We'll unclog them later on. If y'all really want to go to a doctor like that, then why would you want to be under preachers like that?
Why would you want to be under preachers that lie to you about what God said just so everybody can feel like Barney's in the house? There's some principles. God said it last week. He said, guess what? Have no other gods before me. Here come the people. Here come the people. Now, here's what I want you to know. A crowd of people doesn't mean there's truth. It just means there's a crowd of people. And they want what they can see because it's going to make them feel what? Well, it's going to get secure. Here's the faith. I believe that God will save you. I believe God will take you to heaven. And I believe you can be secure in God's promises. You know, Pastor Steve, I can't see them. I can. You want to see God's promises? Watch this. Turn your head right now over here. Turn it to the left. Turn it to the right. Look around. Y'all see people in here? You're looking at God's promises. God has promised into each one of the lives you see here salvation, grace, and heaven eventually. And then he brings us on. Look what happens. The plot thickens. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. If you young people were sharp right there, you just found some scripture. What were the sons wearing? Why? What happened was, is they still had not left Egypt. You know why they wore a gold earring? Because slaves wear gold earrings. They were walking around as free people in the desert, headed to the promised land, still wearing the markings of what?
Slaves.
I want you to know today, I want you to know today that you are not a slave. Amen. God did not die on a cross, raised from the ground, enact the power of grace to make you a slave to this world. We are a servant of the Most High God. And God classifies us as children. Promised children. Operate off that venue. Say, man, I hope that's the way y'all take on the world. I really is. I hope that y'all don't walk around. Because listen, y'all's world is polluted with a bunch of whiners. And they're going to tell you, watch this. This one right here. I hear it all the time. I come from a broken family. Oh, gosh, who doesn't? Where did Moses come from? Watch this. Moses didn't know his daddy. Moses didn't know his daddy. And Moses is being used by God to enact an eternal narrative. If Moses was living in the 21st century, he'd have to tell God, God, you don't understand, man. I don't know my dad. I don't know my biological father. There's no way I can be used because I'm not equipped with the identity of my DNA. You know what God would have said? I am your DNA.
Amen.
See, that's what y'all don't understand. He is our DNA. He is our great promise. He is our reality. What did Aaron tell him to do? Take off your gold, and what I'll do is give you something you can see. How many of y'all trading in what you have for something you can see? Mm-hmm. Roll with that just a minute. How many of y'all are trading in what you could be for the immediate of what you can see? You think you're going to be, watch this. Moses is trying to get them to a promised moment, and they're trying to live in the moment. See, God wants us to live in eternity. Here's what the devil will do. He'll pull you aside to live in the what? Moment. Plot thickens. They melt the gold down. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they had handed him and made it into a cast idol in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you out of Egypt. Now, here's what I want you to know. When people go away from primary leadership, they will submit to stupid things. How's that for a profound statement? See, they're going away from Moses. They're going away from God's call in Moses' life. They're going away from the vision, and they're willing to submit to what they know is not true. They made the golden calf. Think about it for a minute. They've made the golden calf. It wasn't there when they went across the Red Sea, was it? So they're fixing to worship something they already know doesn't work. How many of y'all have done that before? Don't pick on children of Israel, because they look a whole lot like me. What about you all? They look kind of like y'all?
Yep.
Are you being there with God up on the mountain? Oh, things are good. Every once in a while you eat a little manna, having a little quail snack. Things are going what? Good. Every once in a while you run into the tent of God and you get caught up by the fire and the cloud of direction. But then there's other times you start talking to Aaron. So I need me some golden calf. I need something I can see. God, I need a date. God's looking and saying, you don't need no date. You need to listen to what I got to say. God, I need some money right now. How many of y'all have ever asked God like that? God, I need some money. I'm broke. And God's saying the reason you broke is because your mentality, not your money. I gave you a lot of money and your broke mentality, it just runs through you. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a new mentality so that you might be wealthy. See, God does this stuff. I got to have me a gold calf. Where are they going to put it? Before them. Freeze. What do you got before God today that doesn't work? Man, I wish I could tell you as a pastor, man, I wish I could tell you. No, I really do. My heart's desire is I wish I could tell you that I kept God in front all the time. I don't. Sometimes I get distracted. Any of y'all get distracted? And I want what is in front of me. Hold on, now follow me. I'm going to have a little play on words here. I want what is in front of me instead of what is in front of me. See, what was in front of them is the power of God. And guess what they were going to settle for, Cheryl? Golden calf. We do it today. We still make golden calves. You know, we try to create things that only God can create. See, if you got God before you, can you cross the Red Sea?
Yes.
And if you have God before you, even when there's some bad news, and they say your husband's gone on to heaven, can you still walk through this world? Because you didn't have a golden calf. You had a great God. When the pressure's on, guess what happens to gold?
Melt.
Guess what happens when the pressure's on God? The fire of God ignites. Isn't that neat? When they tell you it'll never happen, God says, watch. It's the power inside the church. One of these days I'm going to hear a mighty wind here at Hillview. Roof's going to blow off this place. I'm not talking from a storm. I'm talking from the people of God waking up going, wait a minute, I'm a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Things are possible in my life, and I'm going to follow God no matter what they say. No matter what they say. They say, build me a calf. God says, worship only me.
Amen.
Now, guess what? There's always a consequence. I've gone over that enough. You ought to have that down by now. So the next day, what did the people do? They worshiped what was in front of them. They rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. After that, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in revelry. Y'all know what that is? Y'all do know what that is. That is MTV Spring Break Daytona Beach. See, some of y'all been there. That is Spring Break Panama. Sorry, honey, Panama City Beach. See, I had to come home from Florida and I had to tell my wife, oh, Lord, honey, golden calf done burnt me. I said, forgive me. I said, it's crazy. I mean, y'all, watch this. Because you know what? The calf can't produce a party. So you got to have your own. So here's what I'm telling you. If you're going to follow your things, your concept, and your identifications, you will have to create your own party. Here's what I want you to know. The party's in the package with God. Amen?
Amen.
Party's in the package with God. It's in the package. And he goes on, and there's a consequence when you do it your way. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because your people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. This was interesting to me that God was telling Moses about his people when it was time to go down and get them. Did you notice that? If I'd have been Moses, I said, I thought when you gave me that burning bush thing, they were your people you were going to get out. Now they're my people down on the... But you know what? He was telling Moses the truth. Your people act like that. Mine don't. Your people. We, the people, can turn to things that won't bless us. How many of y'all have seen that happen? How many of y'all have ever turned to something that didn't bless you? Come on, really? How many of y'all have done that? One quick question. How many of y'all have ever said this? If I just won the lottery, everything in my life would be all right. I heard that when the lottery came in Bowling Green. I mean, we got it here in Kentucky. Everybody's like, I'm going to win a lottery and everything's just going to be wonderful. My wife will love me. My kids will love me. Everybody will love me. Well, guess what? I saw some people win the lottery and nobody loved them. Because guess what? They were broke 4 years later. Because money can never make you rich. Because God don't want you to be rich. He wants you to be wealthy. Wealth has nothing to do with monetary value. It has to do with life value. Isn't that interesting? Look at here. He goes on. He tells them, go down. Talk to these people. Whom you brought up out of Egypt. They've become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. Note, we the people, is everybody listening? Give me a head, balcony. Y'all tuned in? Y'all on? Hear me. We the people have been able to govern ourselves in some fashion for 200 plus years in a democracy. This is what I want you to know, though. We the people will never save ourselves. That's why we need a God whose name is Jesus. Because we'll build a calf that can't bless the situation. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. How many of y'all have ever been stiff-necked? What does it mean to be stiff-necked? Well, think about it. If you're stiff-necked, what's it hard to do? It's hard to look around and see what God's doing. That's a good observation. What else if you're stiff-necked? Huh? Yeah, you don't have your head on a swivel. That's right. If you don't have your head on a swivel, what's going to happen? Huh? Y'all ever seen a football player just get whammied on the field? 90% of the time, guess what that football player was doing? He didn't have his head on the swivel, and he got caught blindsided. Ever happened to you, Pew? Oh, you got people like that, did you? You were the Moses taking care of those stiff-necked people. Look at here. God speaks to Moses and says, but I'm still going to do something. In spite of their flaws. He said, now leave me alone so that my anger may burn against them and that I might, and that I may destroy them. And then I will make you into a great nation. Sometimes we got to destroy the gold calf in front of us to get to the God that's all around us. Make sense? Some of you today need to realize, listen, you've sinned, and Jesus Christ is your only hope of salvation. We got a big gold calf in Bowling Green. Guess what it's called? I'm a good person. Eric, the more I looked at that text, I saw this gold calf of I'm a good person. And it's got a nice, clean-cut looking person on it. And it's a person that doesn't smoke, drink, chew, or do. got good morals, shake your hand, hi, how you doing? And they're usually highly moral. They'll go, I cannot believe that those people do those things. Now, this is what this is called, stiff-necked self-righteous. You know why? Because once you get into the Word of God, you realize that all of us have sinned against God. And the hope of glory is not what I do, but what God does. And then what you realized, Andrew? And then God said, well, come here, Andrew, you big old dude I made. I want to make you for heaven. You'll make yourself for this world, but I will remake you fit for what? Heaven. Guys, y'all understand what's going on in here? Every one of you today could go to heaven. It's God's desire that you would not perish. But some of you won't go. Guess why? Stiff-necked. Hard-headed. You have ears that cannot hear and eyes that cannot see. Because what do you continue to say to yourself? I'm going to do it what? My way. To the heck with you, preacher. You don't know what you're talking about. I know this. I'm going to smack any of y'all upside the head. That on the day of judgment, if you tell God you didn't know how to get to heaven. I'm going to look at them and say, Jesus, they're lying. They are lying. Every Sunday I told them they'd never be good enough. I told them it wasn't about the conduct they had. I told them that you were the only way to heaven. And they still wanted to hold hands with Barney and see if they could get to heaven. They wouldn't listen. But guess what? Some of you are going to listen today. Guess what happened today? 8 o'clock, 9:30, some people heard. Guess what they heard? They heard that Jesus Christ would come into their lives and forgive them their sin. And guess what they said? Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. Y'all know what that means? I'm sorry for being sorry. I'm sorry that I hadn't done what I was supposed to, God, and I want to ask you to forgive me. What's Jesus going to do? Go forgive you. And so, Pastor Steve, what happens like after we get forgiven and we wander off back to that calf? Well, God spanks us. How many of y'all glad you got a God that'll give you a whipping? He ain't going to put you in time out. Watch this. Look at it this way. What's God ultimately doing? Is He not teaching and coaching us for eternal life? I've had God do this to me before. He grabbed my ear. Probably while they're little. Said, you need to straighten up. Why would God do that to me? He loves me. Guess who else did that to me in my life? My daddy. And my mama didn't do that. She said, I'm going to call your daddy so he could do it. She had a reference call. What, huh? How many of you parents have loved your children like that? I have to confess, I've loved my children like that before. I have picked them up. I'm going to tell you one thing. I had one child, he'd go, yes, sir. And I had another child. And she would challenge Moses coming off the mountain. The other one, he's pretty smart. He said, hey, listen, if you've heard from God, I'm going to be cool. The other one said, well, I don't think that's the way it ought to be. Boy, she got that from her mother. You're right. That's a good word that I heard. No, she got it from her daddy. Watch this. The other one who watched his mother goes, you know what? My mother gets a lot further along in life than my dad does because she thinks herself through and he kind of just, we don't know what he does. He just gets there. So you think blessings in your life. Look at here. Moses comes down and says, God's not finished with you. God's not finished with you today. Don't be stiff-necked. Some of you need to say, Lord, I've sinned against you. Lord Jesus, I know you are the Son of God. Come into my what? What's going to happen to you today? You're going to leave here and go to heaven forever. Now, how bad can that be? Tell me what lame excuse you're going to give me for not being saved. Prayer, Steve, you don't understand. Lord, I've smoked a lot of dope. I got good news. God loves dope smokers. Now, He doesn't love you to smoke dope. He loves you no matter what you've been into. Does everybody understand that? I don't want 20 rumors this week out in the community that I believe we ought to smoke dope, because I don't. We don't need anything else to mess us up. We don't need anything else before Him. True? And so today, some of you are going to say, you know what, God, come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. You're going to be changed forever. Praise God. If you need to be baptized, guess what I'd do? I'd be baptized. I don't know about you, but this whole journey with Israel, I've kind of caught this very simple rhythm. When you do, Doc, what God wants you to do, what happens? In your opinion, what happens? You go to heaven, absolutely. The promises come. That's what that is. The promise becomes reality. Brooks, we're testing the Franklin section today. When we don't do what God wants us to do, what do you see? Yeah, God's not pleased. God, watch this. God loves you. But there's a difference in God being in love with you and God being pleased with you. I believe those are two different things. God loves me even when He's not pleased with me, Jeremy. Right? I always loved you. But it didn't sound like it when you was loafing on those sprints, did it? Because you was being stiff-necked and I was trying to heal you. God will do what it takes to make us into the people of promise. I'll make you into a great what? Nation. That's my promise. God's going to make me fit for heaven even when I don't want to go. Amen. God's going to stay with me even when I don't want to stay. Amen. All right, if you believe it's possible God might want to have something to do with you, why don't you stand up right now? If you believe God loves you enough, Steve, just have you created. Scott, thank you for blessing us today. I'm glad you're back here where you need to be. God uses you in some wonderful ways with the rest of you. BJ, somebody going to get saved right now. You all right with that? Pastors, as y'all come forward and start praying, guess what's happening today? Now listen, I want everybody to put the brakes on for a minute. This is an altar time. This is not exit time. I want you to think, what do I have before God? Because if you have something before God, I'm going to invite you today to come do what? You don't need it, and you don't have to keep it before Him. Some of you today, for the first time, are going to come and receive Christ. Some of you are going to come that have been following Christ and say, you know what? I'm going to get baptized. That's the real deal. Some of you loved God enough today that you got a friend here so they might hear this good news. You ready? I'm going to start inviting you right now. Jesus Christ brought some folks here today. I believe this with all my heart. For the sole reason to hear this, He wants in your life. You say, well, how do I get Him there? That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it. Tell Him you've sinned. Right now, you don't need a paraphrase from me. Just tell Him, Lord God, I'm a sinner. You say it in your words. This is a prayer I've found 100% effective. God help. He'll speak. You don't believe me? Just say it right now. God help me. God, help me understand your salvation. See what He does. Now, don't leave here without being saved. Second today, man, let's live up to the promise. If Jesus Christ can go lay His arms out on a nasty piece of wood and be nailed for my sinful state, you know what? I can give Him praise through baptism. I can stay with what He says even when it hurts a little while. If you believe, this altar's open and there are people coming. You can start to come right now. You don't have to wait for me to do whatever. You come as God leads you. I'm just going to pray a prayer right now that God would tear down some of the idols that we have before Him so we might hear Him clearly, all right? Lord, as people come and pray right now, as people are moved right now by Your Spirit, as people are coming to be baptized, as they're coming to salvation, as they're coming with critical problems and issues, doubts and fears. Lord, I heard some of them at the beginning of the service, and I just want to pray for faith. Faith, Lord. Faith. Faith. And so God, right now, bless the folks. And Lord, bring those that need to be saved. God, don't let them stand back, but let them be brought forth. And let us know that You're for real right now in this altar in the name of Jesus. This altar is loosed in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Who is it that needs to be healed today? Who is it that needs to be touched by God today? Come. This altar is open. Come.